You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
Found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the tree right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical. When I came out here, I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things, if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand, and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
Like, landed on the ground, I'm kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Out of the swamps, what you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on the side of his knee, and he was talking to Moxie Joe. Planned a party they're gonna have out in the St. John's Swamps. Sasquatch doing a brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Stomp.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Scardy. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Well, good evening, everybody. This is Marco Bill. And I don't know, I got to tell you, everybody knows last week was Tom's birthday, last Wednesday. And he was pretty sick. He had the flu. He had vertigo, which is a middle ear infection. And what we didn't know is the next day he went into the hospital, and he's out, but I think he's still probably still suffering. I've only talked to him a couple times here during the week and the weekend while he's trying to get back to normal again. So anyway, we're going to carry on the show just as we did last week, and we continue on. And we have a good lineup tonight of all of our good Bigfoot family friends here that are going to bring us up to date with what's going on in their areas. I'd like to thank all of our listeners for your emails, for all your kind accolades and everything else for Tom and his birthday, for Tom being sick and everything. I thank you so much. There's so many. I can't name you all, but you're all out there, and you're all part of our family, and we really appreciate you all being a part of our family. Well, tonight we got some pretty good stuff going on. We haven't talked to our first guest, we haven't talked to him in a while, and it's Jim Dawson from Arkansas. So we're going to go out there to Arkansas, and we're going to talk to Jim. Jim, how are you tonight, my friend?
Hey, Marco Bill, how are you?
I'm doing great.
You told me earlier when we spoke for briefly today that you've had a lot of calls. Tell me about some of the calls you've had.
Oh, my gosh. So many. We've had calls from, well, some of the same people up in Michigan. You remember we had those two gentlemen up there that, Mike and they're both have their family of bears up there that they take care of.
Oh, yeah, they had the four-wheelers, right? That's where they had the first encounter?
Yes.
Yeah.
And we've had Dean on a couple of times in the past 2 weeks, or past month. And he's had all kinds of stuff going on around his bait traps and everything else that he's got. Logs being moved and set up on the alongside the tree. The cover of plywood cover from one of the bait traps there he had completely taken out from underneath the logs, like a tablecloth.
Wow.
And thrown about 20 feet. All kinds of things. All kinds of tree twists and other things around his area there. And we've had some, our friend Nick from Ohio, he's got a video he sent. He probably might be on here next week. I got to go through the video. But he went back down to where he was, where he had two encounters in within 3 hours. This is about
three hours.
Yeah, he his friend's place, and he is actually pretty doggone close to one, real close, and he took his little doggy and his camera with him, and he went out and wanted to take a look down the trail where he had seen it before. We've had several calls. Let's see. Three from Virginia, two from South Carolina, one from North Carolina. This is just the past week. Where else? Ohio got that. Alabama, a couple. And, it's pretty busy.
Well, yeah, it's starting to cool down.
The young kids nowadays. Now that we're out in the, Bigfoot is more of a kind of a television atmosphere thing, and a lot of the young kids, of course, call our hotline and try to give us some, spoofy stuff on a Friday night or a Saturday night when they're out with all their little buddies. With a bottle of beer, probably. Their first bottle, I'm not sure. But
We used to call stores and ask if they had Prince Albert in a can.
Yeah. They call up and said, hey, I just seen Bigfoot. And I said, okay, what does he look like? Well, I really didn't see him, but he zipped his thing up in my tent. I said, thank you very much.
It's fine.
Yeah. Yeah, well, they try to have their little games, but it's the real stuff is coming in hot and heavy. It hasn't stopped.
Well, great.
How about
Rocky?
You? How have you been doing?
Earlier this year, he called and we talked for a while, and he had an older gentleman he was taking somewhere, and the older gentleman saw the creature first, looking over Rocky's shoulder. Rocky said if the guy had been with him, he would have never seen it because he was looking the other direction. it's funny, all of us that are out there looking for something hardly or never see anything, and folks that aren't intending on seeing anything see them. It's the darndest thing I've ever seen. Serendipitous, it happens that way.
Yeah.
Well, I had a set of eyes across the river. Jack was out on the dock with me. Oh, this is about a month or a month and a half ago. And they were like prisms. And we had the lights on the dock. We were just sitting down on the dock enjoying the evening. It was nice and pretty and warm. And you could see the eyes lit up bright, bright, almost red-orange, huge, across the river. And we turned the lights off on the dock, and the shining would go away. And the lights weren't directly on them. They pick up light from just about anywhere. and that happened two or three times. Then we went and got a flashlight, and it just didn't have enough battery power to cast the light over there strongly. It'd still brighten up real good. I mean, you could see them real good, but you couldn't make anything out because it's a mag light, a big mag light, but I didn't have new batteries in it. It wasn't good enough. But it was really wild. We sit there for a while, and then it went away. Because of the falls, you couldn't hear anything. But a mile and a half upstream from us, there was a sighting in July 7th at 10:30 p.m. A fella saw a creature that he described as about 6 to 7 foot tall, 500 to 600 pounds, clearly female, crossed a road that was 35 foot wide gravel road, in three strides. It was carrying something, went into the thickest brush in the area. I went back up there, unbeknownst to him, and checked around the area, and I did find a footprint.
Wow.
But you know, I think what happens is, you know, we live on a spring-fed river, and there are campgrounds. There's pockets of populated areas, campgrounds or areas where there's houses on the river, you know, summer homes, et cetera. And then there's wide, vast areas of wilderness. And I think what happens to the creatures, they'll move, my best estimation is 5 to 10, maybe 15 miles at a time. But they stay in these areas. There's tons of game. There's lots of creeks and lakes and ponds to drink and to feed, fish or mussels, any kind of proteins. But these campgrounds and these areas, it's easy pickings for food, trash bins, dumpsters, people camping and getting in their coolers. It's just really easy pickings for food. And I think that's what he saw, was a creature carrying food somewhere.
Sure.
He said it was bent over carrying something. So, I have no way of knowing what it was. And he didn't know what it was. He said, I don't know what I saw, but it was up on two legs. It wasn't a bear. I've never seen anything like it. It was, 6 foot or maybe better, 500 plus pounds. It was huge and it was fast. And it was in his headlights.
Wow.
15, 20 feet ahead of him. And then back in February of this year, we found a 17-inch footprint in the creek bank by my house. And then directly down the high line, due west of us, about, I'm going to say 5 to 7 miles, one of my property owners, I sell property on the other side of the river from me. People come in by a 3 to 5 acre tract of land, get hunting rights on 2,500 acres and access to the river, gated locked access, when they buy property from us. This fellow that bought a piece of property has a mobile home on it. He found a 17-inch footprint in his backyard.
Wow.
In March. So I found one here in February, 7 miles away in March. It was middle to end of February. 7 miles away in March, early March, he found a 17-inch footprint in his backyard. So I really think they move along these high lines. They go between both rivers. There's two rivers near me, and they join about 12 miles downstream from me, Marco. So, and the area between both of those rivers has got a lot of wilderness in there. And I think that's what they do. They cross these rivers. They go back and forth. They go from one to the other because one of them is completely spring-fed, cold water with trout, et cetera. The other is warmer water. And the other river is where we catch a lot of the big fish, the big walleye, the big bass. And it's a warmer stream, and it has far fewer people. And there's been several sightings on that stream. So we've had quite a few sightings in this area over the last year. The last few months we've had some sightings. My ability to get out and do research at night is strongly hindered because my 14-year-old son, who has autism, lives with me. And he goes to school. And it's hard for me to go out and stay out for long, long periods of time at night. So I haven't been able to get out in the evenings. And that's one reason I haven't, been on the show, because I haven't been able to get out and do anything other than collect stories from others or, what we find around here. And he likes Jack. His name's Jack. Jack likes to get out with me and do stuff. But, being still and quiet at night is not his bailiwick.
No, I understand, yeah.
So we haven't been able to do much ourselves. But I have heard quite a few stories and quite a few things going on around here. And I'm very pleased to hear that you're getting some reports. That might mean, that we find some other areas that we can get over to and check out.
Oh, yeah, it's been crazy. We sent people out for a couple of things here in the last couple of weeks here, different places. As one was in Virginia, I think. Another was further north. I can't remember, it was Maryland.
Speaking of Virginia, I talked with Tony earlier this evening, and he had sent me a couple of pictures, and one of them looks like there's a creature in a tree.
Well, I know. I don't know what it is. That's what I posted up on the guest thing tonight. Anthony doesn't know what it is either. He just sent it. See, I don't know. Maybe somebody will recognize what it could be. I don't know.
Well, you know, I mean, it's funny. People say, you know, I've heard people say that they're supernatural. They can, you know, move from one reality to the other. That's not true, Marco Bill. I think they can jump flat-footed 20 feet straight up and disappear just by jumping up a tree. You know, that, what was that, Bigfoot Lives 3, the opening scene is one up in a tree.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And we had several reports in the past 3 or 4 months where they've been in trees.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty neat. I mean, that's usually it's on the ground, right? These were in trees. They were in the air.
Well, most people don't look up anyway. That's the main. Well, we go out on expeditions with Tom, and we're always looking up. You know, I mean, it's just you got to look up. But I think that I think people don't understand that. I think these creatures can jump, 10, 15, maybe 20 feet straight up, and just disappear.
I'll tell
out
you
of
what,
the trees
they're faster than heck. I know that.
Oh,
and they
man.
Can blend in with the background so easily.
Oh, yeah, I'll tell you, you could really probably talk about the tree stuff is Rocky. Did you say Rocky's on the show tonight?
Yeah, he's going to be on. In fact, they had an experience.
Oh, well, I can't wait to hear about that. Now, have you heard about our other guy down in South Arkansas?
Which one?
Matt? Yeah, the one over in, I think the town is Camden or Camden County. What's his name? Chris.
No, I haven't heard from Chris for a long time. I sent him emails.
Wow, okay.
He's had some personal things that have taken place here in the past few months, and he sent out an email, and he needed to take care of some of his personal things for a while first. And I every week or so, I send him an email just to see, how he's doing or whatever, and try to get him to respond back to see how he's doing.
I went out with him in that area that he's in down there, Marco Bill, and at night, we didn't really have anything happen that night. But the next day, we went down into an area not very far from where he was living, down that pipeline. There's a natural gas pipeline
mm-hmm.
Down in there, and back in that area, there's some pine trees. But then you go further back in, there's a lot of hardwoods, and we found it looked like a playground down there of like the youngsters were doing.
Yep.
Artwork. There were trees lined up and arched and formations. It was incredible, the stuff we found down in there.
Well, the last time, about springtime, we had him on the show before he had the problems and stuff, and he was on the air, and he was out there in the woods. Something threw rock about 10 feet from him, thudded out, had all kinds of stuff going on right there while he was on the radio show.
Well, I don't doubt it. I know that there's there are creatures in that area because I saw the formations and the stuff
and the footprints and other things. Yeah,
incredible. He didn't know what to look for. I showed him what to look for, and then he went to town.
Oh yeah,
it was really some pretty incredible stuff I saw down there. So I just wondered about him. I hadn't heard anything, so I thought I'd ask you.
Oh no, I appreciate it. Well, hey, I want to thank you for coming on tonight, Jimmy.
Sure.
You're going to stay on for a while, right?
Sure, be happy to, bud.
Okay, we're going to go on to the next guest here pretty quick. I'm going to go to a commercial, but thank you for coming on. I'm going to mute you out right now, and we'll be right back. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it was Jim Dawson from Arkansas. We're going to go out here to TV land, radio land, and we're going to
In August 2008, there was an announcement that was heard around the globe. A promise of the end to an age-long mystery and deception that played out on the world stage. Anatomy of a Bigfoot Hoax. Now, for the first time ever, see with your own eyes and hear the true behind-the-scenes story of the hoax that gripped the world. Featuring original, never-before-seen footage. Available now at searchingforbigfoot.com.
One, they're very sick people, but you know what bothers me more than anything, Megan? These guys were the law.
And we're back. And now we're going to go out there to good old New York to Richard. Richard, how are you? Well, I got to unmute you first.
Okay. There,
oh, that was Anthony. I'm sorry. Here's Richard.
Hello?
You there, Richard?
Yeah, I'm right here, Bill. How are you tonight?
I punched the wrong button.
Oh. Hey, Bill?
Yeah?
I got to tell you, 2 years ago, I was taken out of the house by an ambulance with vertigo and spent 3 days in the hospital. I know what Tom's going through. It was the sickest I ever was in my life.
Yeah, well, it's, I don't know. He was pretty sick there for a while.
Oh, terrible. It's terrible.
Well, you know, Richard, from last week, what I did is I posted your pictures the last time you were on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And you had several pictures that you'd sent me. And these were pictures of both the faces and the bodies of some creatures. And they're, you know, pretty, what, 7, 6, 7, 8 foot creatures, right?
I would say at least 7 foot tall.
Yeah. And I've put them underneath on www.bigfootlive.com under the, you know, in when you go on the table of contents, you go what's on this week. And then once you get to that page, you look under the guest appearances, look under Richard's name, and you'll see a link with a slideshow on it, and it'll show you those pictures. But they are really interesting, some really good pictures. They look, I don't know how to describe it, they look pretty doggone good, really. And there's several others we have from other people as well. I haven't posted those, but Richard's got some pretty good ones that he's sent us and put up there. So take a look at them and let us know. Richard, how has it been going in your area there?
This week I went to a lecture, and I think I found somebody to go out with me. So I'm going to start going out again because the leaves are starting to drop here. I've only done light stuff. The pictures that I posted there, Marco?
Yeah.
Those are from the parking lot of where I go.
Well, you told me that. It's pretty interesting.
And I have another picture that I did today. It's not as clear. But, you know, they lay up there, and they go in the trees, and they watch the activity of what they call the activity center of this preserve. They watch what's going on. It's like their entertainment.
Well, very
I don't
well
even
could
have
be.
To leave my car. I do, but I don't even have to leave my car. I can see them there in the trees. They're in the trees looking at the people getting in and out of their cars and the buses pulling in with the kids to go take a walk around the preserve. They're that numerous there.
Wow.
If you could see it, Marco, it's not as clear as what I've sent you, but they're in the there's at least two of them in the tree looking at the building.
Wow,
100 yards
good.
Off. And I sent you something to. I don't know if you got it today. I sent you a video.
When was that? Later
this
today.
Afternoon. I hope you got it. I'm not. Too
yeah, well, worried. I might have gotten it, but I haven't been in. I've been doing the show, so I didn't get into my email here.
I think
in
last
the afternoon.
I think last time I talked to you, I said I had a video what I thought was vocalizations.
Yeah.
And that's what I sent you today. I'd
okay.
like somebody else to listen to it because people mistake birds and stuff for vocalizations. I don't think it is because I heard it almost a mile away from the first place I heard it, and it didn't move. I mean,
uh-huh.
it was still in the original spot, no bird can do that. Not through vegetation and stuff. They're just, they're long, they don't make that much noise. 100
yeah,
yards, maybe. And it sounds like, to me, it sounds like a primate. Sounded
yeah.
like I was in the jungle of Africa. That's what it sounded like when I was walking. And
yeah.
unfortunately, when it happened, my batteries were so low on my camera, I just couldn't stay there any longer. And that's why I got, that's why I want somebody to go with me. Because if you ever notice my videos, it's like I'm running through there because I know what's there.
Yeah.
And yet, women walk through there alone. They hike through. Mountain bikers go through. I think if they knew what was there, they wouldn't be walking through like they do.
Well, a
you
lot
know?
Of people don't believe it, so I'm sure.
Well, they don't
believe
it. They're
not thinking about Bigfoot when they're walking through there.
But they're there. And those that those pictures you were talking about, I don't even remember taking those. But I have another picture of that one I sent you with
yeah.
the head and the body.
Yeah.
I have another one that I took just after that where it's not there or it's stuck down. Same tree, same spot, but it's not there.
Huh.
I'll send you that one, too.
Yeah, would you please?
It,
yeah, we'll post it up.
I think it bent down. It stooped down, but it's not where the head's not where it was before. You can't even make. It looks like there's a brown mass down by the foot of the tree.
Oh, that's good.
And I'd say that guy's at least 7 feet tall.
Pretty good.
With a sagittal crest.
You now you're planning on going out with your new acquaintance, though.
Yes.
Okay.
I just waiting for. I wasn't going out. That much because the vegetation's so heavy you can't see nothing.
No, I understand. I understand that. It's not a problem. But just to keep in touch with me,
absolutely.
If you're doing it, and we'll get you back on the show here, too.
Let me just say this. I listen to other shows.
Yeah.
And it's getting to the point where I don't want to listen anymore because all they do is talk about eating roast beef and the size of a guy's tent and sitting around campfires and looking for eyeshine. If you aren't ever going to prove anything with eyeshine or wood knocks or just vocalizations at night. Never, ever.
No, they're all part of it. I mean, they're all pieces of the puzzle. But a lot of people obviously don't go too far from camp at night.
No. And you know what I got? Marco, I told you I've had two eyewitness sightings that I actually saw them.
Yeah. I know.
And the one where I saw the one walk across the ridge, the black one, there is the strangest thing. There's it's a pile of logs there, and it looks like the almost like a arms out and a fist, like a defiant fist. And I think they were sleeping there. And I went over there the other day. It was a piece of wood jammed into a hole in the log. That's
uh-huh.
gone. That's gone. It's not there anymore. It's inaccessible. You and I couldn't get there.
Wow.
You and I couldn't get there. I'll send you a picture of that, too.
Yeah, please.
I mean, it's a big, it looks like a big black. I thought, when I originally took it, I thought it was them throwing something at me, and I just caught the arm
mm-hmm.
from the side, but it's not. It's a log. I really zoomed in on it. It's a piece, it doesn't look natural, what it is.
That's good. Well, you're going to stay on now until the end of the show,
oh,
right?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. Thank you for coming on tonight, Richard. I appreciate
you're
you
welcome, sir.
Coming
you
on here.
Tell Tom I hope...
Keep in touch with me, and we'll keep going.
I tell Tom I know what he's going through, and I hope he gets better.
I sure will.
It's a terrible thing, believe me.
Well, I know that. Yeah, I got to talk to him tomorrow and see how he's doing. Well, you take care, and see you at the end of the show.
I'll send you some more stuff, Marco.
Yep.
Thanks.
Take care now.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that was Richard from New York. And our next guest is Anthony from Virginia. Anthony, how are you?
Okay, how are you doing?
Pretty good. Well, heck, Anthony, let's get right down to business here, buddy. You sent me a recording.
Right.
And if everybody goes up to www.bigfootlive.com, that's www.bigfootlive.com. And you go to the table of contents on the main page to what's on this week, and you go into that page and you look under the guest listing for Anthony, you'll see a couple of, you'll see a slideshow, has a couple of pictures we're going to go through. And then the second thing, I have this audio that, that he sent me. He sent me two audios, but the first, that one audio, it's just too much, too light in the background to hear it on the radio. But what I'm going to play right now, this is an audio. You just got it. It's 4:30 a.m. In the section, and if you listen, you can hear the dogs barking and all the other stuff. But you got to listen closely to the background. And this is not a very high fidelity radio show, so you know, with a higher fidelity sound, you can hear a lot more. But here it is. Here we go. Those are crickets. Now, it's very, very, very faint on this, on the recording on the air. However, when you have it downloaded in on a player, it's fairly clear, and it's you can hear in the background that howl, and that's what you got, right, Anthony?
That's correct.
Well, and it didn't sound too bad if you were playing it. Well, that time of the morning, I was by my neighbor's place, and the reason why I happened to be outside, and when I heard the dogs acting up, I really wasn't going to, I just really wasn't prepared. I wasn't out trying to listen for anything, but I started hearing the noises. And the funny thing is that the dogs that were the closest to where those howls were coming from, they weren't making a sound, and that's what made me stop. And then, fortunately for me, I had my recorder nearby, so I went and got it, got back out, and I, you know, just started recording. I set it down, I just started, left the recorder out for a few minutes, and that's what I got, and I just, trimmed the audio to the most relevant part, and that's the part that you just played, So I knew that when I heard that whooping sound, that that was the creature right nearby, And it was kind of exciting, I wish I could have had a visual on top of that, but I didn't. But I do have an update for you.
Sure.
That location where Tom and was down here, and we had casted the print. That picture that you have posted online with that something in the tree right there.
Yeah.
Well, that's at the same substation where we had where we had casted that print that's down that same road. And I went, after I taking that picture, I went a little further down the road. And this time, I don't normally use my binoculars. They're not mine. They're just, part of the work truck, accessory part of the work truck, because sometimes we have to, read labels from a distance. But, I just had the thought, I come down up and down here quite often. I don't usually use my binoculars. Let me see what I could see with the binoculars. And sure enough, when I was using the binoculars, I was just kind of looking in the area, and it was in the general area where we had made that, where we had casted that print. I was just looking off towards the right a little bit. And I was just looking and just kind of like, focusing in on what was in the, close and further out. And then I saw a shadow behind it wasn't a shadow. It was a dark figure that looked like it was, hiding behind some branches. And the reason why the doctor figures took up, because, you know, I see it's kind of, you know, standing up vertical, you know, but it's all, you know, dark. And but it looked like its arm was kind of like a, you know, like at a right angle, maybe holding on to something or just touching it, you know, a branch or something. I don't know. And that's what kind of, you know, made me stare at it. And I'm looking through the binoculars, and I'm just staring and staring and staring because I want to see if this thing moves. And, you know, the thing wasn't moving at all. And finally, I just, you know, kind of like took my eyes off the binoculars, just kind of like poked, you know, kept the binoculars still and just kind of poked my head up. I couldn't see anything. And then I put my eyes back to the binoculars, and then the thing was gone, you know.
Wow. And what about your friend? How's your friend doing?
Which one? The one with the...
Well,
the one
that
had the
back there. He got his back jammed, and since then you haven't been able to...
He's doing a lot better. I spoke to him earlier, and, you know, we're going to try to set something up for this weekend, but we hadn't just made any final plans. I guess we'll talk more tomorrow, and then we'll see if we can come up with something for the weekend.
Yeah.
But he is feeling a lot better. You know, he's I don't want to say he's back to normal. You know, but I know last time I seen him, you know, about a week and a half ago, he was moving a lot quicker. So I know, you know, we got back problems. It's just a little, you know, takes a little more time to heal up.
Sure. Well, has he had any other things taking place over there by your
house? He seems to notice that things were kind of slow, but from his experience of living there over the years, he notices that during this time of the year, he notices that the activity will start to pick up, you know. So he's just, you know, kind of like anticipating, just like all the other years, you know, like, okay, they're gonna start, because it just happens every year, you know. So.
And this is, ladies and gentlemen, just to bring you up to speed, this is the gentleman that that Anthony met that basically had, he called them monkeys in his tree.
And, yeah, he didn't know.
Yeah, big monkeys in his tree.
Oh, yeah.
And he was, and Anthony kind of approached him on a slow side there to not, you know, and he finally told him all the things that were going on when he first moved in there. And it was a pretty significant event, right?
Oh, yeah. You know, we've been out there a few times in the evening at his place, and sure enough, there was it was eventful. It wasn't a waste of time, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. And now, have you the tree formations and other things that you sent me a couple weeks ago? Any changes? The tree that's in the picture, that's the same tree that you took before. Is that correct?
No, this is not. Okay.
Oh.
This is all in the same location where I was at 2 days ago. This is by the electrical substation, which was nearby that same area where we had casted that print. So probably maybe another half mile, three quarter mile down the road. This is where you'll run into that electrical substation, there was another tree that was knocked over, but this one was just, you know, pushed over and, you know, came over the contractor fence there. Again, this location has only been online for a few years. And so this is the same location where, which is what got me started in this one, because every time I would go inside the hut, that they would be throwing rocks towards the hut. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember. Well, gosh, Anthony, thank you for bringing us up to date with what's going on, and thank you for the pictures.
Sure,
and the audio.
Glad you enjoyed it.
You're going to hang in there for the end here, right?
Yes, I will.
Okay. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's Anthony from Virginia. We'll be meeting him again at the end of the show with the other guests. And now we're going to go for one more little quick old break, and we're going to talk to Rocky. Here we go for a commercial.
In August 2008, there was an announcement that was heard around the globe. a promise of the end to an age-long mystery and deception that played out on the world stage. Anatomy of a Bigfoot Hoax. Now, for the first time ever, see with your own eyes and hear the true behind-the-scenes story of the hoax that gripped the world. Featuring original, never-before-seen footage. Available now at searchingforbigfoot.com.
One, they're very sick people, but you know what bothers me more than anything, Megan? These guys were the law.
And we are back, and we're going to go out there to Arkansas to our good buddy, Rocky. Hello, Rocky.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Swede's not feeling too good tonight, huh?
No, he's under the weather.
Oh, my gosh. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I got to tell you, last week, Swede tried to, well, Rocky didn't know this because Swede tried to get a hold of him, but he couldn't get a hold of Rocky. And so Swede got a hold of me. And basically, you know, Rocky and Swede just got back from their month-long vacation on an island. through rain and sleet, through all the rain and all the other floods and everything else. You've seen The Survivor, man. Well, this is about 10 times probably better than Survivor, man, or that new one that's on there where they got the two guys, one's an ex black ops guy, and the other guy's a survivalist. You've probably seen it. They're trying to go out and beat the deserts, and they go all these different places. Well, Rocky and Swede by far beat all those guys down, I'm going to tell you. But anyway, after doing all that for a month, a little over a month actually, they came back, and Swede the Monday before last, woke up at night, and he heard a howling kind of thing, and he heard some noise, right, Rocky?
Actually, he smelled something that he said smelled like.
Well, yeah, he smelled the foul odor, which was rotten sweet potatoes with something. Yeah, the same thing that got your little sweeties, your cuties.
Oh, yeah. Well,
why don't you go ahead and tell us? Rocky, why don't you go ahead and tell us?
Okay, he said that they were, him and his wife, they usually, I don't know, all they ever do is work. Anyhow, he was pretty knocked out, but he was laying in bed about 2:30 in the morning, and he smelled, I mean, it stunk bad enough that it woke him up. But he said it smelled like sweet potatoes and rotten meat. And he got up and he looked out the window. They sleep upstairs. He looked out the window and he didn't see anything, but, his dogs were totally silent. He said not a cricket, not a hoot owl, nothing. He said it was just totally silent. And his dogs, if there's anything out there, Booger, anyhow, she bites me every time I go over there. But she's always on top of things. She patrols the area. Well, he just thought it was kind of odd. He got up and he went and looked out the front door, and all of his dogs was on the front porch. And that's really unusual. So he got out. I guess he was looking out of his top window, but he looked. There's some hay bales, round bales, that's a pretty good distance up from his house. But he saw a dark shape moving that away, and it cut behind the the bales, and but he could still see it above the bales. Well, the bales are they're pretty close to 6 foot tall, and he was telling me that he could see foot and a half of it above the hay bales. Well, of course he was telling this on the show. And, you know, I was actually hoping to go to bed that night because I've been without sleep for far too long. But anyhow, after he talked about he'd had something been stealing his turnips out of the garden, but they were just right along the edge of the garden, and I didn't actually step out in it, but something had didn't dig them up, it just pulled them up. And anyhow, when I got over there, it was probably around 11, a little after 11 when I got over there.
Yeah, this is right after the show.
Right.
Right after our show. The show starts at, 9 o'clock your time.
Yeah.
Right? And right. It was just towards the end of the show where you were going to go over to his house and from the show. And that's what you did.
I went over there.
About 10:20.
Yeah, it was about 11 when I got over there, something like that. Mm-hmm. Anyhow, I went up on the hill to the northwest or the northeast of the hay bales, and he stayed down toward the a little bit further on down to the southwest, where we could keep an eye on everything up that way. And well, we sat. We did a whole bunch of sitting that night, and I was fighting real hard not to go to sleep. Well, about 3 o'clock in the morning, I heard a vocalization. Well, I was awake then. Anyhow, we sit there, we heard it. It was a pretty good distance. I saw two does. That was coming across the field, and they stopped and they looked to the west. And anyhow, then they took off at a dead run. Well, I was watching up that way, but never saw anything because it was too wooded on up above me. And anyhow, it was probably, I want to say about 15 minutes later, I heard the vocalization, and it was a pretty good distance from us. I mean, it was easy to make out, but it was not anywhere. It wasn't in our area. It moved on up. But we stayed out there till I guess I left there about 7 o'clock in the morning. And anyhow, Robert, after that, Swede kept an eye on everything for the next few days. Then this weekend we had a modern gun doe season, a special one, and so you know neither one of us got out there where we were going to get blown up.
But, of course.
of course, my son did get 3 deers today. But,
wow.
Yeah, he's a hunter. But anyhow, we're going to try to do some between season looking around, and well, I'll probably go out to our little area in during muzzleloader season because I drove by Monday, I don't remember what day it was. I drove out that way and looked to see if there's, you know, any tire tracks or anything out that way. I didn't see anything, so I'm thinking that maybe we may be able to sneak in there during muzzleloader season, and then we're going to, as soon as we get a chance to go back down there and spend a few days, we're going to go down there and check it all out. But in the meantime, we're going to work the hill over behind Robert's place, which that's a lot of ground to cover too. But you know, the Swede, when you get to the edge of his land, you just drop off the planet. So, anyhow, we're going to, we're not done working it, or, you know, sometimes me and Robert was talking the other day, and I told him, you know, said, we were talking about how much we liked all the Bigfoot hunting people, and I told him that, you know, truthfully, we ought to hate all the Bigfoot hunting people, because if it hadn't been for them, we could sleep. But we spend so much time out in the woods. The other night when I came home, my wife asked who I was, and my grandkids all run away from me because they didn't recognize me. But anyhow, we're trying to do y'all proud. We want to bring one in so everybody will have to quit saying ugly things about us all.
Oh, gosh. Well, gosh, Rocky, what we're going to do is we're going to open it up now. How's that?
Okay, but I need Dawson to give me a holler.
He's going to be on. He's right here. And
all right.
I'll tell him. Yeah,
okay.
You can talk to him, as a matter of fact. It's Rocky, it's Richard from New York, it's Anthony from Virginia, and it's Jim Dawson from Arkansas. You're all on. And Steve, you're there, General Giant?
Yeah, I'm here, Mark, unfortunately.
Go ahead, Rocky. You wanted to talk to Jim.
Hi, Jim. Here a while back, I crashed my old telephone, and it just, well, for some reason I didn't get all of them. I can't pull all the numbers up on my new one, so if you will, call me after a while so I can get your number again and we can converse.
Yeah, he threw his phone at the world because he couldn't get no sleep.
Jim, are you there, my friend? Jim? I think Jim might have put the phone down for a couple seconds.
Oh, well.
I'll give him a call after the show.
Okay.
He's on. He's just, I think what happened is he just, either he's dozed off or he had to go do something real quick, like you know, get a drink or something.
Well, I'll just call you after the show and get his number because.
Yeah, I'll
I'm
give you a call after the show and give you his number.
Okay, I'm going to go to bed tonight.
I know. I don't blame you. Well, does anybody have any questions about anything from tonight?
Yeah. That deal where he said he was having all these encounters, I guess, about that haystack incident?
Yeah.
How long ago did this take place?
It was a week ago.
Wow.
Last Wednesday they came on the show. It was the Monday.
Yeah.
That Monday.
It was the Monday before that. Yeah.
Huh. So what did you do? Did you go out to the haystack and check it out, or did you hide behind the house and wait until it left?
No, I went up on the hill that night. And humped up under a damned old tree and hoped something would come along and give me some rest. I mean, it's one of those things. I wanted to either shoot something or go home and go to bed, and neither one of them happened.
He wanted to get his 500 caliber broke in.
Exactly. Well, that's one of those things. I just almost as soon a bear eating his
head. Yeah. I change the subject. I watched a video, I think it was on YouTube, where they have these Arabs out there trying to shoot a 750 caliber rifle, and every time they're shooting this rifle, it kicks them up the side of a door. God, I'd hate to shoot that. I'd hate to shoot that pistol and break my wrist.
That is a 577 Tyrannosaur with a 650 grain bullet.
And it's gone.
Pretty nasty.
What would pretty you shoot nasty. With that?
An elephant or two.
Yeah.
I just can't imagine anything around here. I want to shoot one of them. I just don't know how many times.
Excuse me, Rocky, would a 30-30 put one of these things down?
Well, I'm not going to go out there with anything that I wouldn't take bear hunting.
Uh-huh.
Okay, now, granted, in Arkansas, 30-30 is a fairly reasonable bear gun.
Uh-huh.
But, and I'm not going to say that it won't, but, when I go out there looking for something like that, I leave my 30-30 at home, and the smallest thing I carry is I carry my .308 sometimes. I carry my .30-06 most generally, but I do carry a .45-70 a lot of times.
That's good.
But my .35 Whalen is the one that I really count on doing the job, or my .358 Norma Magnum.
They better off just taking a stick of dynamite.
Well, I was going to ask you guys a question, Rocky.
Okay.
I was going to ask you a question. All you guys. I was watching one of those National Geographic kind of, you know, things, you know, where wild type stuff. And these guys were out, they're out not hunting bears, but they're out, you know, pinning bears, tracking them, and, you know, scientists out there figuring out what their habits are and stuff. And the thing that they carried with them, one guy was carrying, of course, a handgun, which probably wouldn't work too well. But the other guy, he had a high-powered rifle. But I'm going to tell you something. A bear, this guy got attacked by a bear. And he used this bear, they make a big can of pepper spray.
Yeah.
Bears, and it shoots about 15 or 20 feet out or more. And I'm going to tell you, that bear stopped dead in its tracks. I mean, dead in its tracks. And it inhaled that pepper juice. It just, I mean, it was like, you know what I'm talking about? And I thought,
I've been sprayed with it.
Oh, really?
I've been sprayed with the bear spray. And it's, I don't know. Truthfully, you know, I'm not too sure that I wouldn't rather have the gunshot wound. But
well, the problem is, Rocky, is I wouldn't be worried about you or Swede, but there's a lot of people out there that would carry a gun that are not, I mean, you know, just for protection, right? In the woods. And obviously you'd want to carry a gun for protection. But it's your first line of defense if you really can't shoot. I mean, if you don't shoot that thing in a vital spot, shot, you're done for. And what the pepper spray did was stop it and dead in its tracks and it did turn around and took off. But it had cubs, too. It had cubs in it, so that's why it was, you know, doing what it was doing.
Right.
But it did stop it in its tracks, and it turned around. And for somebody that, I mean, obviously you'd want the gun for still there in the event of. But what happened was the pepper spray did stop it, and he knew he wouldn't be able to shoot that thing fast enough. I mean, that thing is coming barreling down on him like crazy. Unbelievable.
I'm going to carry a gun, but the bear spray I think is an excellent idea. I mean, if you're if you're not gonna, if you're going out there unarmed, well, you know, hell, if nothing else, sharpen up a stick. But the bear spray, I would think is
a million
times better than being unarmed.
Well, I think you'd want to be armed and have bear spray.
Absolutely.
Might as well just try a homemade habanero spray.
Well, I don't think, you know, they test these things pretty good. And I want to tell you, that spray, I mean, that spray when it came out, it looks like a quart size, not a quart size, but, you know, a can, one of those, like a small fire extinguisher.
Yeah.
Right.
A little slimmer. And it's got, you know, the handle on it and all that. Boy, that thing shoots that spray out, like, way out there. And it's got a good aim and everything.
And it's a mist.
It's the 19-foot range.
Right, it's a mist. And when they breathe that in, it says what it does is it swells all their membranes, their nose, their sense of smell.
Shit.
And
it's
most horrid. Animals, their sense of smell is their most, when they lose their sense of smell, they're lost.
Wow.
It's horrible stuff.
Yeah.
The only problem that there is with it is you kind of got to know which wind the direction's blowing from.
Well, yeah. Obviously, if you put it against the wind, it may backfire.
I got a question. Was it Rocky or Swede that actually got in the bear hug by the creature?
That was me.
What if you had a, one of those little hand tasers?
Would you think
that would put it down?
Well, I had a .454 Casull.
Yeah, I know that put it.
Well, that's got a lot more power than a .44 Magnum. Whole lot more power than a .44 Magnum.
Mm-hmm.
And about the time I fired that third shot, it slammed into me and hard enough that I dropped the gun. And then I was, I decided right then next time I'd bring a bigger gun.
What? Why do you think it charged you?
You know, I don't know that it didn't charge me because when I first, as soon as I saw it, the shooting started.
Uh-huh.
And that could have been it. And, you know, that was back in 94.
Mm-hmm.
And I've replayed that every night for a lot of years. And I don't know who made the first move.
You know,
whether it was him or me just being scared. I was scared. I mean, I don't like to admit being scared, but I was scared bad.
Yeah.
Anyhow, I don't know. Like I say, I don't know who made the first move.
Hey,
I made the last one.
Right, Rocky?
Yeah.
Have you ever used a super soaker?
Yeah, I used one on my grandkids.
Well, you know, the bigger the super soaker is, the more you pump it up and it sprays way the hell out there.
Yeah.
This may sound a little dumb, but why not put like a pepper spray-like solution in that super soaker and spray that? I'll bet that'd really get them.
Well, you know, it'd be one of those things. Truthfully, I don't think, you know, it all sounds good, but with me, I want a big solid projectile to strike it because it would scare the shit out of me to think that I squirted something on it and pissed it off.
Yeah, that's true. And I don't think a taser would work very well either.
Rocky, how about
a tasing,
a shotgun, you know, a deer slug from a shotgun work?
I'm an absolute believer in the shotgun slug. I don't care if it's the Sabo slug or it's the Foster-style slug. It's hard to beat in a well, in a social situation or anything like that, it's hard to beat a shotgun slug.
Yeah, slugs are usually the best course.
Absolutely. I mean, you'll not hear me. You'll not hear me. The slug is wonderful.
Yeah, it's like when I used to be an avid muzzle loader myself years ago, and I've always said that 58 caliber slug was the best way to go if you were hunting. If you're going to use buckshot, you might as well drop the rifle and run.
Well, you know, there's a lot of places that it's against the law to even use buckshot to deer hunt with, which kind of, I don't know. There's more often than not when I'm going out someplace to where I can get away with carrying, if I'm out doing what we're talking about doing. I've got I've got two 870 Remingtons loaded up, leaned up here. I always carry the one with the 3-inch chamber loaded stuff full of slugs and put an extended tube on it, so I have 8 shots.
Well, you know, from everything I've ever read about these things, they don't seek confrontation usually. That's why that surprised me, your situation, Rocky. Because usually they're curious, but if you get curious to them, they'll, like, slink off. They'll back off. Probably.
Well, you know, I was really surprised myself.
Well, here's the thing. You don't know. What you don't know is it's what you don't know about what that creature is doing. If it's a female with young, obviously it's, or a male with young and a female, it's probably going to try to protect its territory and things like that. So you just don't know. And I mean, how do you know if you're walking into his territory and if you don't see the other two creatures or three creatures that are there? And so, you know, that's the issue.
Exactly.
One of the issues. It's just like a bear or any other animal, or even us. I mean, you know, somebody, if they feel threatened, they're not going to back down. They're going to come charging. I mean, that's what happened to Roger Peterson. I mean, he had no idea that thing was going to charge.
It's one of those things, you don't know what you're dealing with, like you say. I'm not going to go over to the Swede's place and go stomping around at night unless he knows I'm there.
Right.
Because, you know, I mean, it could turn into an awful situation.
Yeah.
But out there that night, I mean, it was just, but, you know, you just look up and there's something right there, and it's, well, not very far away. Well, like I say, I don't know. I don't know who actually made the first move. If I got shook and started shooting, or it made the move and caused me to, but whatever the situation was, what I saw in my mind's eye was an animal, a wild animal coming at me. At that time, I wasn't sure what, well, I'm still not sure what it was when it comes right down to it. Even after I saw it, I'm not sure what it actually is. But, I had no idea what it had in its mind. And so I just did my best to wipe its mind clean.
Well, yeah, surviving.
Exactly. Survival's cool.
Yep. They could be like people, you know. You could have just ran into a badass, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Some of them might be like people. Some guys are badass.
Hello?
And some guys are nice.
Absolutely.
It's the same thing with bears. I mean, you know, most bears would steer clear of people, you know, normally. I mean, Yellowstone and stuff like that out there, they do that all the time. And bears are used to people even being around them. But by gosh, I'll tell you something. I mean, they're not tame. They're wild animals. And and if they happen to get rubbed the wrong way or they're in a bad mood or whatever, you just don't know. And now, have you ever seen a bear? I mean, just seeing what damage a bear can do?
There's a thing about me on YouTube where I've wrestled a tame bear that was 8 feet tall and 650 pounds. After that, if I see a 175-pound bear in the woods, well, then I get a gun out because I realized what strong really was.
Hey, good God.
If I see a 175-pound bear in the woods, I'm just going to keep walking.
I'm going to tell you, they locked a small amount of food in a bag inside of a car at Yellowstone, okay? And that's what they did. They locked it in the car, and it was an older car. They wanted, you know, because they didn't want a brand new one. But the doors were shut and locked. The windows were all rolled up. Nothing was open on that car. And the bear, trying to get into it, demolished the outside and the inside of the car, ripped the car door off of its hinges and opened it, ripped the car seats off of the car seat. I mean, there was nothing but spring left on the car seat. Ripped the truck open. Everything you could think of. And, you know, when I seen that, it wasn't a big grizzly. It was a grizzly bear, but that told me right there that bear, if they really wanted to do something, could really do a lot of damage.
You've seen the Airstream camp trailers?
Yeah.
I'm living in one.
There you go. In our area, we have, just about a mile from where we always camp, that's where they release all the problem bears. Okay, we talked to the one guy that had his Airstream camper out on his property about halfway in between where they turned the bears loose and where we camp. Well,
he tore that thing apart.
He went out there one day, and his Airstream camper was completely destroyed. The door was tore off of it. It had got in there, and it had eaten all the cookies, and it had. He had a case of 2-liter black cherry colas. Well, it bit into every one of them, and, sprayed it everywhere and kind of licked what he could, and then it wiped an Airstream camper out. Well, it was about 125-pound bear.
Wow.
Yeah, so, you know, personally, you know, the bears that we see out there, I'm always talking about the Hobbit. Well, he's a little bear. He's a little old bear, and he's got a really crappy attitude. And we laugh and talk about it all the time, but, you know, the fact is, I've got a great respect for bears, even small bears.
From what I read, when bears catch sight of these creatures, they run like hell.
Well, you know, that might not be such a bad idea.
You know the best way to keep a bear away from you?
How's that?
Take some peanut butter and some honey and make sure you're around a whole stack of bees.
I had a friend, they had a wrestling bear that used to go around. And my friend was 6'7", 370, and he weighed 375 pounds, Rocky, right?
Wow.
Right.
And I went with him that night. When he climbed in the ring, the bear actually did a double take when it saw him, but yet it pinned him in about 3 seconds.
Well, like I say, on YouTube, I wrestled Victor the Wrestling Bear.
That's who it was, Victor.
Okay, the Victor that I wrestled was 650 pounds and 8 foot tall. Well, I'm not either one of those. I won the money, and everybody said, oh, you got up more times than anybody else. Well, hell, I went down more times than anybody else.
But he got
I've been around workhorses and that kind of stuff all my life, and I thought a big old draft horse was strong. They're not nearly as strong as I thought they were after getting in there with a bear. I was a bug.
Yeah, their muscles are like tendons.
They beat
that's
anything.
They are.
Exactly.
Well, everybody, I got to tell you, I want to thank everybody for coming on the show tonight. I appreciate all your time and sharing. And we'll see everyone next week. And you guys take care. And everybody keep Bigfooting. Keep the Bigfoot going.
Good night,
everybody.
Now.
Marco,
good night.
Bill.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, Rocky, Steve.
Good night, Richard.
Good night, y'all.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pack that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they died. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monsters, facing mysteries, legend, tales, and facts. When you brought them together, reason for